The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. And dear our venerable religious and dear parishioners, as I was preparing for the sermon today, it struck me how Marian the season of Advent is. We've begun a penitential season today. It's not as penitential as Lent because most of the days are not required fast and abstinence. But nevertheless, the church does give us this season of penance as a spiritual renewal to help us prepare for the great feast of Christmas. And today is the first day of the year, in the church year, that is. So definitely a time to be spiritually renewed. That's what Advent speaks to us. Get ready, prepare, do penance, repent. So these are the thoughts that come very strongly to us on this first day and throughout this holy season of Advent. But as I was saying, it also is so Marian. It has so much to do with our Blessed Mother. Now we know that the four candles of the Advent wreath represent each 1,000 years. And that's how many years there were from the time of Adam and Eve until the coming of the second Adam, as the fathers of the church like to call our Lord. But it's also 4,000 years from our first mother, Eve, and the second Eve, our Blessed Mother. And two of the very powerful scripture quotes from the Old Testament that show the Marian nature or Marian themes or Marian spirit of the whole incarnation and redemption is what God said to Adam and Eve after they had rebelled and lost the state of sanctifying grace and lost their other special gifts. I will place enmity between, and he's speaking to the devil in the form of the serpent, I will set enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and you, devil, shall lie in wait for her heel. Isn't that most powerful? And it's clear that this is a woman. It can't refer to Eve because Eve just got vanquished by the devil. So there had to be another woman who was going to undo the harm of the first Eve. So there you have one of the most important verses of the whole Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. She shall crush thy head. That's what God told the devil. That's how important our Blessed Mother is. Does that mean God can't crush the serpent, can't crush the devil? Of course not. God can do anything. But God has chosen to involve her. So for all of those that were aware of the prophecies, they knew that there would be a woman. And then it received further clarification in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, right there, we have what looks like a contradiction. How is this possible? A virgin to conceive? God can do anything. And he miraculously made this virgin to conceive because she would be the mother of the Messiah. And it makes no mistake further by saying, well, let me repeat the whole quote. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. It should be most obvious to all that God was going to come through a woman. The Messiah was going to be born of a human mother. So that's the Marian aspect of the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, well, when Our Lady was bearing our Lord for those 9 months, that was still the Old Testament. The New Testament was going to happen, of course, in her lifetime when the Savior came. I guess we could say when Jesus became incarnate, that was the beginning of the New Testament, because the prophecy was realized, what had been foretold came into reality. And so we think of our Blessed Mother throughout Advent. So Advent is very Marian. And I'm going to urge you to keep in mind our Blessed Mother as you prepare for Christmas through this Advent season. I mean, who knows Advent better than our Blessed Mother? It's the waiting, it's the expectation. We have only 4 weeks, well, usually not even 4 full weeks of Advent, and they represent the 4,000 years. But again, the spirit of our Blessed Mother was there in the Old Testament, and then part of the New Testament so clearly, so obviously. This is the way God chose to set things up. We should never forget that. You know, one of the recent huge kerfuffles that have happened among conservative Novus Ordo Catholics is the Vatican coming out with a statement that although our Blessed Mother is the mediatrix of all graces and the co-redemptrix, we shouldn't talk about it. Doesn't that sound absurd? They're acknowledging that this is what the church has taught, but because we shouldn't be offending all of the non-Catholic heretics, we shouldn't be talking about it. It'll confuse them. Again, it's absurd on its face. If it's revealed truth, we must talk about it. And yes, the church has taught that our Blessed Mother, because God involved her so much, that she is co-redemptrix. And I'm going to explain this in just a moment. She is co-redemptrix. In other words, God chose to use her in the redemption. And God loves to do things in what we call a congruent manner. So if Adam and Eve sinned, and our Lord is the second Adam, wouldn't there be a second Eve? We are also told that if Eve alone had sinned and Adam had not, then the human race would not have been fallen as it was, because Adam was the head. He was the first one created. Eve was his first or primary assistant, his only human assistant, of course. And of course, they entered into the state of marriage in the Garden of Eden. So God does things in this way. He chose to use his mother because he came to us through her. And so this is Catholic doctrine. It hasn't been solemnly taught, but it has been taught in an ordinary manner She is co-redemptrix, and by that fact, she is also mediatrix of all graces. God could distribute his graces directly on his own, but he chose to use our Blessed Mother to distribute those graces. He wants her to be that involved in our daily spiritual lives. She's our mother. I came across a beautiful explanation here from St. Albert the Great, one of the great doctors of the church. And this is how we can understand it. Our Lord is the Redeemer by way of justice and by merit. So try to remember those two words, by justice and merit. In other words, he has satisfied the justice of God by his atoning sacrifice on the cross. He did it. And he did it. He merited all grace for us. However, and this is quoting, let me quote St. Albert the Great. I say by merit of congruity, for Jesus Christ alone is our mediator by way of justice and merit. Mary, on the other hand, is a mediatrix of grace by way of simple intercession and merit of congruity. So with our Lord, it's justice and merit. Our Lady, she is redemptrix and mediatrix by intercession and congruity. So again, by her prayers, by the fact that God said, Blessed Mother, or Mother, I want you to be involved. So this is something you can use when you're asked about this. How does this work? Well, God has chosen it. He wants us to go to our Blessed Mother for her intercession and for the fact that she has been involved as our redemptrix. So keep these in mind as you prayerfully and in a repentant and penitent manner observe Advent, do it with our Blessed Mother. It's going to be hard, as it is in our culture. You know, I've been celebrating Christmas already. We have to hold back. It's hard when everybody around us seems to be in the Christmas celebration. Practice patience. What a wonderful virtue. Patience comes from the Latin word, which means to suffer or endure. Let's have an Advent, a true Advent, so that we may have a true Christmas. So my prayers are with you for a holy and fervent and Marian observance of this holy Advent season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.